As you start thinking about comparisons, and as you start studying your Bible with me this afternoon, there are so many great things that capture our attention when we start comparing and contrasting different things. If you're like me, on Saturday mornings, I generally will wake up to ESPN, and you have a panelist of men, and there they are making comparisons to different teams that are going to play on this particular day. But as you think about Jesus Christ, and as you think about the great work that he has done to save us from our sins, there is no comparison. I think sometimes we, at least in my estimation, sometimes within our minds, we think that there is someone we can compare to the Almighty God, but there is no one we can compare to him. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 9 and 10, there the prophet says, "Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none like me." Then he says, declaring the end from the beginning, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." In the very same book, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 25 to verse number 35, there the prophet says, "Who then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, save the Holy One?" But I want you to know something about the enemy this afternoon. He's a liar. That's what he is. In John 8, verse 44, Jesus, speaking to that audience of Jews on one occasion, will say, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2 and 3, Paul will recognize him as the prince of the power of error, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, Peter says, "Be sober or vigilant, be called your adversary." Then he calls him by name, the devil. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking with whom he may devour. And so it will be one thing this afternoon if we didn't know who our enemy is. It's as if heaven's flashlight constantly exposes him for who he is. Because if we are on the Lord's side, we need not to be afraid of him. If we are on the Lord's side, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, we already have obtained the victory. As John writes to the brethren at Smyrna in Revelation 2, verse 8 to verse number 10. In verse number 10, John says, "I know you all have been tried for 10 days, but John says, be thou faithful until death, and you'll have a crown of life." While there are so many things in this life we simply cannot know the answer to, if it's one thing we should take great comfort and assurance in knowing, our God is greater than the devil. I think sometimes, again, we walk and we move as if we're not on the Lord's side. We walk and we move as if we don't have these assurances that should build our faith, that should anchor us down, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 to verse number 18, in the Word of God. And if we do that, we certainly can know without a doubt that Christ is greater than the devil. As you begin looking at the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John has so many encouraging themes that John is trying to convey to the audience that he is preaching or that he's writing to. And one of the things these brethren needed to know within their hearts and within their mind is that you can know that you have eternal life. You can know that you don't have to succumb to sin. You can know, 1 John 2, 1 and 2, that you have a propitiation, not for our sins only, but ultimately for the whole world. And so in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 to verse number 12, our text this afternoon is going to bring us to this section within the book of John and helping us appreciate that Jesus truly is greater than that of the devil. In 1876, Robert Lowry penned what will go on to be one of the greatest hymns, I believe, that has ever been written. We sung it yesterday, and we probably sing it every month, if not every Sunday. And if you are familiar with this song, at least 9 different times he's going to give us a great confidence or a great confirmation at the end of each of these verses. And again, you will think of all the questions that we ask, of all the things that impact us and that change our minds. Consider the question Robert Lowry asked, over 100 years ago. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? What can for sin atone? And then he says, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. With that being said, I want you to notice 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 to verse number 12 with me this afternoon. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, John is going to say there, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law. For sin is transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither have known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And then he says in verse number 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, while his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And then he says in verse number 10, in this the children of God are made manifest, and children of the devil. Whosoever, he goes on to say for the sake of time in verse number 12, not as of Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his own brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works evil. And his brother's righteous. How do we know this afternoon that Christ is greater than the devil? Again, I want you to appreciate before we get into our first point, when you begin looking at our world today, I did a search and I really wanted to know, what does the world think the greatest problem that we have is? And I want you to consider a couple of these things. Some people have said that artificial intelligence is the world's greatest problem. Some people have said, well, you know what? Pandemics are certainly the greatest problem that we have within this world. And even though when you look at both of those and so many other problems that we have in our world, even though those problems are great, and we're not minimizing those by any means, the greatest problem humanity has is sin. But when you think about the God that we serve, the greatest problem, it also provides for us the greatest solution that heaven had to offer. God didn't look down his list and just gave you something. According to John 3, verse 16, God gave you the very best heaven had to offer, and that of Jesus Christ. John says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the monogenesis, the only one of his kind, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Point number one, I want you to consider in our time together this afternoon, how do we know Christ is greater than the devil? What John is going to do, number one here is, John is going to give us a description of sin. Again, when you think about the Bible, when you think about you and your relationship with the God of heaven, aren't you thankful that God, through his word, has defined these things for you? And so it's not as if we have to go out into the world looking in the ground for buried treasure. How do we know what the solution to sin is? How do we know what we have to do to be saved, to be right in the eyes of God? The Bible is going to put an emphasis on all those questions that we have. Peter will let us know in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You see, when you think about sin and what sin does to the person, sin certainly separates us. Sin destroys us. You ever find yourself talking to someone who's in sin and they are so far gone in their mind, they actually believe that they somehow have the power to get themselves right, separate and apart from Jesus Christ? I don't know how many times I've heard people use the phrase, when I get myself right, I'll come back to worship. If there was a way for you to get yourself right, separate and apart from the God of heaven, then you've discovered something that no one throughout the halls of history has ever discovered. If there was a way, according to Titus 3, verse 5, if there was a way for us to save ourselves, don't you think that would be available for so many people? Titus says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Brethren, we stand before the God of heaven guilty because of our sins. Notice 1 John 3, verse 4. John says, whosoever committeth sin, they transgresseth the law, for sin is transgression of the law. The original word there John is going to use to describe sin, it is an offense. It is a person who is missing the mark, a going onward or a violation of the law of God, which also helps us appreciate there is an objective standard. People always say, well, you have your truth and I have mine. You believe what you want to believe and I'll believe something different. How can that be true if we're all supposed to be following the word of God? How can you believe what you want to believe and I believe what I want to believe and we're both going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, especially when we start talking about sin. Brethren, there is a standard. God looks at sin and God wants no part of that. In 1 John 1 and verse 5, the Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When you start walking down your Bible and you start viewing and reading all the different things that are opposed to the God that we serve. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to verse 32, you read of the sinfulness of the Gentile world. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul will highlight the works of the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to verse number 11, Paul says, you can't go to heaven in that condition. But they also change in verse number 11. In Revelation 21, verse 8, there John says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the whoremongers, the adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25, listen to what Moses says about sin. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin that were only going to last for a season. Oh, I have social media just like everyone else. And the world constantly is placing before us that is really not that bad. You know what? You can do a little of this and you can still be right with God. But how can we do that if those things have no part in the God that we serve? You see, brethren, one of the tricks and the schemes of the evil one is to cause us to doubt what God has already said. And if I can put a little doubt in this person and what they believe, then ultimately I can have their faith as well. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1, here you have God has created the world. God has created man. God has created the woman, someone suitable for the man. But in Genesis 3, verse 1, consider what the Bible says. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. If you remember what happened next, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall become as gods, knowing both good and evil. And so now Adam and Eve, they decide that they are going to hide themselves from a God who sees everything, who knows everything, and like embarrassed little children, they hide themselves from God, but yet God goes looking for them. Adam and Eve, do you know where you are? When God asks a question, it's not for confirmation, but it's for contemplation. Do you know where you are, Adam and Eve? Well, I was afraid because I hid myself because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thou shouldest not eat? You see, brethren, sin, it is going to separate us. It's going to distance us from our God. Why would I want to run and be away from my God when I want to be as close to him as I possibly can? But that's what sin does. In Luke chapter 15, as Jesus is giving this parable, in Luke 15 and verse number 1, then drew near unto him all the tax collectors and sinners for to hear him. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes, they murmur saying, this man, he receives sinners and he eats with them. Of the three illustrations, the lost sheep, in Luke 15, verse 4 to verse number 7. The lost coin in Luke 15, verse 8 to verse number 10. From verse 11 all the way to verse 32, he'll give us this illustration, this parable of the lost son. If you remember, the Bible says of this lost son, when he came to himself, you have a Jewish boy thinking of eating the same thing the pigs are eating. Sin is irrational, brethren. And I know the world, they constantly want to minimize sin. They constantly want to tell us it's not that big of a deal. But when you read God's word, it is going to highlight and emphasize the fact that you can't go to heaven with sin in your life. It separates. It brings death. And then ultimately, just to be frank, sin is not of God. Of all the things the Bible will emphasize in showing us on how we need to rid sin of our lives, or one of the things that helps us appreciate this description of sin that John has given to us. Again, in John, 1 John 3, verse number 4, the Bible here says, whosoever committeth sin, they transgress of the law, for sin is transgression of the law. John will go on to say in verse number 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. How do we know that Christ is greater than the devil within this text? Number 2, John is going to highlight or give us reason as to why the purpose of Jesus coming into the world. I want you to go back 2 chapters to 1 John chapter 1. I want to highlight something within that chapter for you there. The purpose of Jesus coming. When you read the Old Testament, just stay in 1 John chapter 1. When you read the Old Testament will highlight and emphasize the fact that there is one coming to save us from our sins. He's coming to establish his church in his kingdom. In Genesis 49 and verse 10, the Bible says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh come. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, and the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and thou wilt call his name Emmanuel. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, the government shall sit upon his shoulders. We shall call him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In 1 John 3, verse number 5, take hold again, John says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Notice 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. John here says, that which was from the beginning. Now, what I love about the book of 1 John, when you read the gospel according to John, you just read so many great similarities between these two books here. In the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Again, John says in 1 John 1 verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness to show unto you that eternal life, which was of from the Father, was manifested unto us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, 1 John 1, 1 to verse number 3 there. The purpose of our Lord and Savior coming into this world was to save us from our sins. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, there Paul says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." The greatest problem that you and I have, the greatest thing that separates us from our God, according to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, is our sins. When you read Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and when you get down to Matthew 1, verse 18 to verse number 25, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Taking us all the way back to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Why is he coming? Matthew 1 verse 21, to save us from our sins. But in 1 John 3, John says again in verse number 5, "You know he was manifested to take away our sin." And then he says, "And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither has known him." John makes it abundantly clear in 1 John 3, verse 4 to verse number 6, in what sin is. The purpose of Jesus coming, him being manifested to take away the very things we could do nothing about. In John chapter 1, verse number 1 and following, we know that passage so well. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God." In John 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh," tabernacle. We see God in a body, "and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and also full of truth." In Romans chapter 6, verse 16 to verse number 18 there, Paul says that we no longer are slaves of sin, but now we are servants of righteousness. In Romans 8, verse 1, "Don't you know that there's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but they now walk after the Spirit." John gives us, number one, a description of sin. He shows us the purpose of Jesus coming. But more specifically to our topic, how does all of this benefit us as we think about and consider our subject on how we know, how can we have assurance in the fact that Christ is greater than the devil? Notice 1 John 3, verse 7 to verse number 8. Again, John says, again, in 1 John 3, verse number 4 to verse number 6 there, "You know he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither have known them." Now, verse 7, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." In preparation for our lesson, I really wanted to focus in on that phrase there, "Little children, let no man deceive you." You see, brethren, one of the tricks and the schemes of the evil one is to deceive us. And he does that in a plurality of different ways. He does it through false doctrine. You know, as the Lord's church, I pray we always stand up against false doctrine. I pray we always stand tall against false teaching. As John here, the book of 1 John, again, 1 John chapter 1, you think about the Gnostics and those individuals who were totally opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. John here shows them, "Hey, I've seen him. I've held him with my hands." 1 John 1, verse 1 to verse 3. And 1 John 3, verse number 5 and verse number 6. "Don't you know that he was manifested to take away our sin?" Now in 1 John 3, verse 7 to verse number 8, John here gives us a call to righteousness. A couple of things I want you to consider within these couple of verses here. Again, John says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." The lifestyle, the product of Jesus Christ being righteous allows us to live a righteous life. Don't let anyone convince you that you don't have to live a righteous life. Don't let anyone convince you that God doesn't call you to live a holy life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, consider what the Bible says. The old King James Version renders it this way: gird up the loins of your mind. The New American Standard 95 renders it, wherefore, prepare your minds for battle. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. Verse 15. But as he which has called you to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. John, in 1 John 3, verse number 8, consider what he says here. John says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, notice what he says in verse 8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There are so many things that I have been afraid of, as I'm sure you all have as well. One of the greatest fears, I think, that often causes us a lot of worry and a lot of doubt is the fear of the unknown. How is this situation going to end in my life? How is God going to help my loved ones, my family members, or my friends? And so the unknown, it does something to us. But it's so amazing, because as we think about the fear of the unknown, while I don't know what's ahead of me, I'm going to trust the one who can see even what I cannot see. But not only that, when I think about the evil one, when I think about the devil, when I think about all the things he has done, to know, to have assurance in knowing that Jesus came to defeat him, it should allow us to anchor ourselves down in the confidence that we have with our Heavenly Father. Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of the unknown? Are you afraid of the devil? Because of Jesus the Christ, we don't have to be afraid of any of those things. And it's not that we're walking around with this arrogance, but we are walking around in confidence in knowing that if our God has conquered the devil and death itself, if our God rose, John 10, 17 to verse 18, of his own power, then I know for a fact I can have confidence in him. Consider again one more time before we go forward what John says in 1 John 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin, John says, this person is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever, verse 9, is born of God, doth not commit sin, while his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. We're going to talk about this more extensively tomorrow, but I do think it's very important for us to talk about it right here. When you think about us overcoming the evil one, us standing down and living a righteous life, what's one of the main things, if not the main things, that allows us to do that? It's the Word of God. You know how many people have Bible apps on their phone? You know how many people, if you're like me, I'll have my phone is right there, but every day I'll get what's called a verse of the day that pops up on my phone. I'm sure many of you get those as well. Those verses mean us no good if we don't apply them to our lives. You know how many people read the Bible, but don't apply it to their lives? You know how many people have all the apps on their phone, but they never apply it to their lives? You know how many people are wondering whether or not God's word is really alive and really active, Hebrews 4 verse 12, in their lives? A person came to me one time and they said, "Josh, I want to grow in my relationship with God." I said, "Man, that's fantastic. Let's do it." And so he asked me different steps he can do to grow in his relationship with God. And I asked him, "Well, how much time are you investing into God's word currently?" He told me, "The only time I open my Bible is on a Sunday morning." Yeah, the only time we study God's word is on Sunday morning. We are giving so much room for the evil one. Because of our world, the word of God constantly has to compete with different things in our hearts. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, as God is giving Joshua the confirmations to lead the people of God, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, God instructs Joshua, "I want you to mutter, I want you to meditate on my word day and night." Applying the word of God into our lives, it helps us in knowing that Christ is greater than the devil. In James chapter 1 verse 22, consider what James says there. James says, "Don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man who beholds his natural face in a glass. He beholds his face, he goes his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was." In James 1 verse 25, James says, "But whoso looketh," that's the Greek word parakouto. In John 20 verse number 5 there, the Bible says, "He outran him to the sepulcher," him stooping down, same word there in James 1 verse 25, "and him looking in." Whoso looketh takes a real investigative look. Whosoever stoops down into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, him being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, James says, they will be blessed in their deeds. James says, "Whosoever is born of God," verse 9, "doth not commit sin, while his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." John gives us a description of sin. He shows us or tells us the purpose of our Lord coming. He gives us the call to righteousness. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and following there, the Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he may destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and delivered him who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage." But last of all, this afternoon, John gives us a distinction. How do we know Christ is greater than the devil? What John is going to do here is, John now, in verse number 10 and verse number 11, is going to exhibit that with using an illustration. In 1 John 3, verse number 10, John says, "And this the children of God are made manifest in children of the devil. He that doeth not righteousness," John says here, "is not of God." But in verse number 11, John says, "This is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as of Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his own brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works evil and his brother's righteous." Really quickly, I want you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. John here gives us a visual way to identify those who belong to God versus those who belong to the devil.
In Hebrews chapter 11, let's just begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Great verse there, powerful verse there. So those things which are seen were not made of those things which do appear. And then in verse number 4, the Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh, ultimately showing the faith of Abel there in Hebrews 11 and verse number 4. Hebrews 11 and verse number 4, in connection to Genesis 4, 1 to verse number 11 there. You have two boys going to worship the God of heaven. Hebrews 11 and verse 4 lets us know one of these boys, he did it by faith. And 1 John 3 verse 12 lets us know, not as of Cain, who was of that wicked one. I heard a sermon a long time ago, and the sermon title was, When the Devil Comes to Worship. I thought to myself, why would the devil want to come to worship? We're going to be honoring and worshiping the God of heaven. But if you ask that a different way, why wouldn't he want to come to worship with you? Why wouldn't he want to come and distract you from giving the God of heaven the very best you have? Why wouldn't he want to come into your lives and disrupt your worship, disrupt your marriage, disrupt your children's lives? Why wouldn't he want to do that? And too often as Christians, we give our lives over to the evil one. In 1 John 3, verse 10 to verse number 12, John here shows us a distinction once again of those who belong to God versus those who belong to the evil one. But for the rest of the context, John is also going to consider some other things. Whoso seeth his brother have need and closeth up his bowels of compassion from him, John is going to ask, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And then he says, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and also in truth. Genuine faith and love for others go hand in hand when you think about the distinction John is making here. Do you know that Christ is greater than the devil? Do you know that Jesus has overcome the devil and death itself? Do you know, as God's people, we walk with a confidence that is rooted and established in the fact that Jesus has conquered everything? When you start making comparisons, and when you start looking at all the different things on your table, I want you to know without a doubt that there is no one we can compare to the Almighty God. You see, brethren, the devil has been defeated. Death has been defeated. And Jesus is reigning victorious where he will always be. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 to 58, as Paul writes to them in verse 1 to verse number 4 concerning the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And then you get to verse number 50. This I say, brethren, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he's going to ask some questions. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? In verse 57, he says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as ye know not, Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'll be honest with you. There are some things I just don't know. But if it's one thing I know, it is that my God is greater than the devil. Thank you for your time and your attention this afternoon.